Welcome to Lost and Found, a radio ministry of Calvary Chapel Westside. We are currently going through the book of Exodus with Pastor Dave. In today's study, Pastor Dave will be taking us through Exodus chapter 31, starting in verse 1, ending in verse 18, where we see that whether you're 8 or 80 years old, God has a calling on your life. You have an anointing on your life, and by God's Spirit, He will show you what it is. Now let's pick up with Pastor Dave in Exodus chapter 31.
Even though I'm in the boat with Jeremiah and feeling like this is ridiculous, I'm going to take your word above what I feel. Okay, you've called me. You say there's an anointing available and there's a work to be done. Now, Lord, what is the work? I encourage you tonight, if you're here and you're lost, you don't know what to do, go home, read 1 Corinthians chapter 12, the spiritual gifts. Read Romans chapter 12, the practical gifts, and get before God and say, God, which ones are mine? Appropriate to me, Lord, the ones that you've given to me so that I can take them, Lord, and use them for your glory. Because, Lord, when you come back, when that trumpet blows and I meet you in the air and I stand before you, Lord, I want to hear those words, well done, thou good, not successful, not the best ever, but faithful servant. That doesn't mean that everyone here, including myself, is going to be some Billy Graham or Greg Laurie or K.P. Yohannan. It doesn't mean that at all. It's just being faithful. The issue is faithfulness with what God has given to you. How faithful are you to it? I'm raising up a team. I've appointed a group of people back in Exodus 31. I've appointed a group of people, Bezalel, that will come alongside of you. There's this tremendous work that I want to do here. I want to see God's kingdom glorified through your hands, through practical ways, through putting together a tent. The guys today, some of the guys here were setting up the tent for the pig roast on Saturday. It took them like 6 hours. If I were out there, it would have taken like 12 to 15 hours, no doubt. It's not my call. I'm not a craftsman. I'm not somebody who works well with my hands. As well as I work with my hands is holding my sword. That's about it. But they did it with joy. It was easy for them. That's just the way that God's called them, to be able to work that way. God's called me to, He gave me the gift of gab, to be able just to preach and teach. But no one's more anointed. They're just anointed for that work. That's all. As we move away from this point and we move into the remainder of this chapter, very important stuff, but I really just want to leave you encouraged tonight that you have great worth to the body of Christ. If you leave here anything else, you leave here with that tonight. You have something to bring to the table. God has a call on you, and He knows what He's getting Himself into. He knows who your dad is. He knows who your granddad is. He knows your DNA. He knows your faults and your failures, your weaknesses. He knows the things you're going to do to blow it in the future. He knows it all, and He says, I've chosen you despite. That's the amazing grace of God. Amen. Moving on here, in verse 7, He continues to give instruction to Moses as he gets ready to descend. He says, the tabernacle of the congregation and the ark of the testimony and the mercy seat that is thereupon and all the furniture of the tabernacle and the table and his furniture and the pure candlestick with all of its furniture and the altar of incense and the altar of burnt offering, verse 9, and all of its furniture and the laver and its stand and the cloths of service and the holy garments for Aaron and the priest and the garments of his sons to minister in the priest's office, verse 11, and the anointing oil and sweet incense for the holy place, according to all that I have commanded thee shall you do. A great work. Bezalel, this is going to be a great work that I have before you, but so long as you keep doing what I put in front of you, doing what I keep commanding you, that's the key to success. There's not this free pass to do whatever you feel like doing in the ministry. That's something else that we have to understand, you see. We don't get to just do things around here the way we like or the way we see fit or what we think is needed. We have to do what God commands us to do. He's a God of everything should be decently done in order, everything. And so long as I fulfill the meaning of Bezalel's name and I stay in the shadow of God and I hear his voice because I'm in his presence and I respond to his commands, I'm going to do great. As long as you are hearing from the Lord, you're walking in the light as he is in the light, and you're being cleansed of darkness as soon as it comes in, and you're staying in tune with him, and you follow his commands, and you obey his precepts. As you do that, he's just going to bless your ministry. It's really easy. His yoke is easy. His burden is light. It's never wearisome when you follow the Lord. If you follow the Lord, when people get in trouble and when they burn out, they're not really following the Lord. They've done it in their own strength. They begin to show up in their own strength. They begin to conjure up and muster up, you know, what they think that they need to get it done in their own efforts and ingenuity. But the Lord is saying, hey, I can make this so much easier. Just follow my commands. Just do exactly as I laid out for you to do. Hey, Dave, when you preach, don't worry about what commentaries say. Don't worry about what theologians say. Just get before me. Get in my presence, and I'll give you a word to speak to my people. Just do what I've asked you to do, and you're going to be great. And that's the confidence we go forward in, saint. As you step up to the plate, as you get before God and say, God, what are my gifts? What is my calling? What is my anointing? What are you appointing me to? As you do that, just stay in the commands of it. Keep ourselves in the love of God, letting him just lead us, guide us, and direct us. And it just flows so smooth. And the Lord spoke in verse 12 unto Moses, saying, kind of interesting here, the turn of events, but I'll bring it together for you. He says, speak also unto the children of Israel, saying, verily my Sabbath shall you keep, for it is a sign between me and you throughout your generations. Now, we've already heard about the Sabbaths, haven't we? We've been journeying through Exodus. We've already heard about this day of rest. But the Lord brings it up again in this context. I'll show you why in just a minute. Keep it between me and you, middle of verse 13, throughout your generations, that you may know that I am the Lord that does sanctify you. You shall keep the Sabbath thereof, for it is holy unto you. Everyone that defileth shall surely be put to death, for whosoever does any work therein, that soul shall be cut off from among his people. 6 days, verse 15, may work be done, but in the seventh is the Sabbath of rest, holy to the Lord. Whosoever does any work in the Sabbath day, again, he shall be put to death. Wherefore, verse 16, the children of Israel shall keep the Sabbath to observe the Sabbath throughout their generations for a perpetual covenant. Listen to what it says in verse 17. It is a sign between me and the who? Church? No, the children of Israel. Forever. For in 6 days the Lord made the heaven and the earth, and on the seventh day he rested and was refreshed. And so this whole bringing up again of the Sabbath right after he's given this commandment to work. I think that this is very interesting here. I find it very interesting that he brings up the Sabbath, the day that the Lord was refreshed in creation, the seventh day, which not refreshed in a sense like, man, I'm pooped. That was hard work 24/7 for 6 days straight. Man, I need to kick my feet up. No, that word refresh gives us the idea of I'm satisfied, I'm complete. Why? Because everything was in place for Adam. Everything was in place for his creation, the one that he longed and yearned to have fellowship with. Everything was all set now for them to spend time together, to enjoy each other's company, because that's what God is longing for. Sabbath is a holy rest, a time where God's people, in context, Israel and him, can have this time where everything else is forgotten about. The bills that need to be paid, the work that needs to be done, the landscape that needs to be tended to, the lawn that needs to be mowed. Everything is done and taken care of, and you just take that day and you spend it wholly with the Lord. And there's application for you and I tonight as we look at this. Even though we don't celebrate the Sabbath, this speaks to us because it's talking here in a time of construction. God is reminding us that in a time of construction and building, it could also be a great time of distraction. Listen to what I'm saying here. What I'm saying is out of nowhere, God brings up the Sabbath after he calls Bezalel and his team to this great work. He says, but don't forget our time together. Don't forget the importance of our fellowship together. Don't get so busy in the ministry. Don't get so busy in the work of God and the service of God that you neglect the fellowship with God. Don't think you're exempt from keeping the Sabbath. Don't think that you don't need to get before me and just do devotions, not put together a Bible study. Don't think that you don't need to just get before me and pray to me and seek me and hear from me and not just pray for the ministry that you're serving in the area that God has raised you up and called you to. You need to keep that relationship cultivated. Now, God is cool with if your ministry stems from or flows from your relationship with him, but he's not cool with that ministry, the area of service, that work replacing your fellowship with him. In fact, he despises that. It's not a work of the Spirit, it's a work of the flesh, and he wants nothing to do with it because that's not what ministry is all about. Ministry should be an outflow from personal relationship with Jesus. You have to know that. For some of you, this might be going right over your head because you're not serving God and you don't get it, but write it down and look at it down the road when you do start serving, because you'll get what I'm talking about. Anybody in this room tonight that's a children's church teacher, a worship leader, an usher, a greeter, a prayer warrior, intercessory, sound ministry, tape library, wherever you find yourself, you know what I'm talking about. Don't let your preparation, your practice time, your Bible study itself get in the way of your devotion to God. In a time of construction, it could be a great distraction. In a time where God's doing and building, I know for me, this is a constant area where I have to balance. God's doing things. He's bringing people here. We're trying to minister. We're trying to be faithful. I'm trying to hear from him, get a word from God to speak to you guys. And so many times I find myself not seeking God for just my own personal relationship. And God's saying to me, listen, keep the Sabbath, a holy rest, a time where we can kick our feet up together and just be together. Do you know in Mark chapter 3 in the Gospels that Jesus, that when he chose the 12, the very first thing he said is that I ordained them to be with me. What did God raise the 12 apostles up for? What would your response be tonight? Oh, to cast out demons, to preach powerful messages, to heal the sick. All secondary to the first thing that he said, I ordained them to be with me. We have the Mary and Martha problem, don't we? Luke chapter 10, verses 38 through 42. You remember the sisters, don't you, and the cat fight they had when Jesus came over for dinner? You remember that story? Martha was so busy preparing the meal, baking apple pies, getting everything all ready, just all over the place in the kitchen, cutting the bread, tossing the salad, checking the meat in the oven, you know, getting dessert ready. And what was her sister doing, Mary? Just sitting in Jesus' feet. A dreamer, right? It reminds me of John, who just leans his head on the chest of Jesus, just hanging out, just, wow, Jesus is in the house. I'm sitting at Jesus Christ's feet. Nothing else is more important. Everything, the song that we sing, let the world fade around me, the world around me fade away, was reality for her at that moment, wasn't it? Just, can't you picture her just, I've never heard the word taught like this before. Such power, but such meekness. Such sincerity in his eyes, such humility. I was so drawn to the man, wasn't she? And then Martha got all worked up. Lord, what about my sister here? This one sitting at your feet, you know, this dreamer. Tell her to get busy. And what did Jesus say? Martha, Martha, she has chosen that which is more needful. Goes what he said about his apostles. I've chosen them to be with me first. In other words, God's more interested in the servant than he is the service. God's more interested in you tonight, in fellowship with you, than what you can bring to the table. I'm not contradicting the first part of the message. I'm just putting perspective to it. As much as God's called you, raised you up, anointed you, appointed you, he's more concerned with fellowship with you than he is anything else. And if your fellowship with him begins to become compromised, he wants nothing to do with your ministry. Get it? That's why the Sabbath, I believe, is brought up right here. No one's exempt from it. I'm not exempt from it. As much as I study the Bible, as much as I'm seeking God and praying to God, I need to have my own devotions. I need to be doing what I've done for years and years and years. Pick up my Bible and read where I left off for my own time for God to speak to me. God has shown me that long ago. On Sunday mornings, the day I have to preach, the biggest crowd of the week, I still do my devotions. I still read the proverb of the day. I still read wherever I am in the Bible, my own private reading. I still need to hear from God. I have to remain what he created me for. His good pleasure and having fellowship, but just hanging out with Jesus. Because before he called me to lead souls to Christ and to preach dynamic Bible studies and set people ablaze for him, whatever it is that he wants me to do, the first thing that he wants me to take care of is my relationship with him. And then actually everything else is going to be that much richer and better. What flows from it is going to be so good. But if I begin to neglect that and sacrifice it, even for good things, God's hand of blessing is lifted from my life. Let's close with this. Come with me real quick to Revelation chapter 3. This is where we'll close. Of course, I'll come back and read verse 18 to you, but that leads us into next week's study. Before we do that, let's just look at Revelation chapter 3 real quick here. Because remember, the seven churches in Revelation are representative churches of the church age. Seven is the complete number, the number of completion. So this is talking to the church age until Jesus Christ raptures the church, okay? So these churches in some way or another represent all churches, if that makes sense to you. We find both a condemnation and commendation in all of these letters personal. Lord, where do you want to condemn us here and straighten us out? And where do you want to commend us here and tell us, keep doing what you're doing? Here in Ephesians, I don't think you, in chapter 2 here, or Revelation chapter 2, I don't think that this letter can ever get old to Ephesus and can never stop being a heart check. It deals with exactly what we were talking about there in Exodus chapter 31. Unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write these things, saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walks in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. I know your works and your labor and your patience and how you cannot bear them which are evil and how you have tried them which say they are apostles and are not and has found them liars. Verse 3, you have borne and you have patience, and for my name's sake you have labored and you have not fainted. You've been doing so much good stuff. In fact, if the pastor of the church there in Ephesus was to retire and quit, there'd be a line out the door of pastors applying to get the job because you guys do everything right. You're testing the spirit of the preacher. You're making sure heresy and false doctrine isn't going out. You guys haven't fainted in days of persecution. You haven't grown weary in the work. You're doing everything. You got the children's church program. You got a great worship team. You got the Bible out in its proper place. Everything looks the T. Great, you got a great facility, great land. Great work. Nevertheless, verse 4, I have something against you. You have left your first love. Remember, therefore, from whence you have fallen and repent and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly and I will remove thy candlestick out of his place except you repent. Don't you feel like that's a little intense? God's like, listen, if you don't come back to your first love and what this whole thing's all about, relationship before service, if you don't get back to that place, I'm going to remove my presence from your church. Back in Exodus 31, God said, hey, if you don't remember to keep the Sabbath and the construction becomes too much of a distraction, I'm going to kill you. I think that God's trying to tell us tonight, the point for us, he takes his fellowship with us seriously. He went to great length to establish that fellowship, didn't he? He went to a great extent to establish that fellowship by giving his son, Jesus, and allowing his blood to be shed for you and I so that we can enter in with an all-holy God into intimacy. So he's saying tonight, if you've left your first love and you just going through the motions without any emotion, and this thing's become a duty to you, remember, repent, redo. Remember what it was like when you first got married and for you guys, your wife ran to the door when you came home, and now she runs from the door when you come home. She kissed you. She hugged you. How was your day, honey? Or guys, your wife, you know, you ladies, you remember the interest and the look in their eyes, the sparkle in their eyes, and remember that, God's saying. Remember what it was like when you first came to me. No one told you you had to be at prayer. No one told you that you had to lead worship. No one told you that you had to teach the kids, that you had to pass out candy at the hallelujah party. Nobody told you that you had to be involved in ministry. You were just wanting to be at church as often and as much as possible because you loved the Lord. Because your relationship with him was that ablaze. God says, that's where I want to be. I want us to stay hot, God says. I want our relationship to stay hot. I want your love to be fervent. I don't want you to feel like you have to do anything. Worship team, would you come up to lead us in the last song? And as they do come up, I'll read to you the last verse of this chapter. That's a segue into next week. After these commands, the Lord gave unto Moses, when he had made an end of communing with him upon Mount Sinai, two tables of testimony in stone written with the finger of God. That takes us into next week. Next week, chapter 32 is the chapter. Read ahead if you don't know what I mean. An incredible chapter. That's why I didn't want to rush it tonight. Great chapter to come back to. But tonight we leave here with this. We can never say that we're above the letter to the church in Ephesus. We all have to get before God tonight. In fact, why don't you stand? We all have to get before God tonight as we sing him this last song and say, Lord, let me love you with my whole heart. Let me love you, Lord, with all that I am, my soul, my being, my mind. Let me love you with every fiber of my being, Lord. And whatever I'm doing already in ministry, let that just be an outflow of my love for you. And if you're here tonight and you're one of those who are going to get before God and say, okay, what am I supposed to do in ministry? Lord, before I even begin it, let it be an outflow of my love for you. Everything that I do, Lord, so that it's pure, so that it's genuine, so that it's truly holy and right before him. Because ministry, serving God, is all about pleasing him. It's all for him. I mean, I'm here for you tonight. I want to wash your feet. I want to give you God's word. I love you guys. But I'm ultimately here. I've ultimately showed up tonight. I've ultimately studied and prayed and received something from God for him and his glory. Ultimately. And that should be the case in every ministry. Whether it's putting together a tent, cutting the pig on Saturday, taking care of the babies, teaching the kids, opening a door. It ultimately should be that, Lord, I'm doing this for you. Because I love you. So Lord, work that in us tonight, we pray.
That concludes our message for today, here on Lost and Found. Join us next time as we continue our verse-by-verse study through God's Word. We invite you to join us this coming Sunday at Calvary Chapel Westside. Our Sunday morning services are 9 and 11 a.m. We'd also love for you to refuel with us at our midweek study on Wednesdays at 7 p.m. Calvary Chapel Westside is located at 2407 Union Street in Spencerport, New York. If you'd like to know more about CC Westside, you can log on to our website at ccwestside.com. That's ccwestside.com. You can also find us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Vimeo, where you can access videos of Pastor Dave's teachings. If you'd like to contact us, simply give us a call. Our phone number is 585-352-3150. Again, that's 585-352-3150. Or send us an email. We would love to hear from you. Our email address is radio@ccwestside.com. That's radio@ccwestside.com. Thank you for listening to Lost and Found, a radio ministry of Calvary Chapel Westside. Join us next time as we continue our study through God's Word. Luke 19:10 says, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." It is our prayer that you have found the only pathway that leads to an abundant life, found only in Jesus Christ. Let it ride and hit the ground.